If you have a Bible, we will be in Mark chapter 4. We're going to cover the first 20 verses or so this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, as always, there should be one under a seat somewhere in front of you. You may need to nudge your neighbor if there's one, not one directly in front of you. As you're finding your way there, in 1903, there was a playwright named George Bernard Shaw who he wrote a play called Man and Superman, and I don't think it was actually about Superman. I don't really know what it was about, but it contains the now infamous, somewhat infamous line in which one of the characters said, "He who can does, and he who can't teaches." How many educators are in the room? Just need to see who I offended this morning, okay? I didn't do it. It was George Bernard Shaw that did it, all right? No, actually, in its original context, the quote was not meant to be a cheap shot at teachers, though it sounds like that. But either way, like, we obviously know that's not a universal truth, right? Obviously, usually it's the people who teach are the people who can do and understand better than the rest of us. Yes, that's right. Right, it's not a universal truth, and it's not a biblical truth, okay, from what we're going to see this morning. Because so far we've been through the first three chapters of the Gospel of Mark, and up to this point, Mark's Gospel has been really fast moving because Mark's emphasis is really up to this point largely about Jesus' activity, what Jesus does. Okay, that's why Mark's favorite word up to this point has just been immediately. He's constantly like, Jesus did this, and then immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately Jesus did this. You want to be like, Mark, pump the brakes, man. Like, we can't keep up, right? So Jesus up to this point in Mark's gospel has primarily been like a doer, right? He's healed people of their sicknesses. He's cast out demons and unclean spirits. He's done a lot of stuff, a lot of doing. But here what we're going to see this morning in chapter 4, Mark gives us for the first time a preview, not just of what Jesus did, but what Jesus taught. Okay, Mark has referenced Jesus' teaching so far, but even in referencing his teaching, it's been more about the act of teaching or how he taught as one with authority. But for the first time this morning, Mark is going to give us a little bit of the content of Jesus' teaching. What did Jesus actually teach and talk about? And so what we know from that is Jesus is both a doer and a teacher. All right, so with that said, Mark chapter 4 starts in verse 1, and there's a what Sabrina just read for us, there's a huge crowd gathered around. And so Jesus, in order to speak to the crowd, he gets in a boat and kind of pushes off away from the shore a little bit so that he can speak to the entire crowd gathered around. Okay, and verse 2 says that Jesus was teaching the crowd with parables. Okay, this was what Jesus, his frequent form of teaching that Jesus did was to speak or to teach in parables. And if you're not familiar with what a parable is, it's effectively just a short, simple story that would use sort of illustrations and imagery from everyday life to make a point. And they were more than just sort of clever sermon illustrations or more than just like story time with Jesus. Okay, but the parables themselves were actually like really provocative. Okay, they were meant to be really provocative. Jesus would, like you see this in verse 10 and 12, but like the disciples come and they ask Jesus about the parables. So like, Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you teaching in this way? Why are you saying things this way? We don't quite understand what's happening here. And Jesus responds in a way that really, if you just read what Jesus says, it kind of catches you off guard a little bit, like if you're not ready for it. Verses 11 and 12. They come, they say, Jesus, what's up with the parables? And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Okay, so according to Jesus, the parables really kind of function as somewhat of a filter, right? And what I mean by that is they are going to reveal like who's on the inside and who's still on the outside. And they're going to reveal, as in the case of our parable today, they're going to reveal whose hearts are being softened and whose hearts are being receptive to Jesus' message of the kingdom of God and those whose hearts are being hardened or are not receptive to Jesus' message about the kingdom of God. And I would say it's important to remember as we've moved through Mark up to this point, we've seen both people. Okay, we've seen people who are receptive, whose hearts are softened to Jesus' message. We've seen people whose hearts are hardened to Jesus' message. Okay, you got the disciples, okay, and those who were like the disciples, who Jesus goes to them and he says, "Hey, I want you to follow me." And what do? They leave everything and they follow Jesus, right? The fishermen, they drop their nets. Levi left the tax booth. There's some sort of receptivity to what Jesus is saying and what he's preaching and what he's teaching. They're like, "I want to know more about this," even if they don't fully understand it all yet. Okay, but then there's also some that are still on the outside looking in. In Mark, we've seen a lot of the religious leaders so far, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were openly antagonistic toward Jesus. Right, the last kind of real run-in we had with the scribes and Pharisees in Mark's gospel, it says they were looking for an opportunity to destroy him. So they're clearly on the outside looking in, right? But then there's also the crowds. Right? We love crowds, we love big groups of people, right? But Mark regularly presents the crowds as people who are like they're kind of intrigued by Jesus, but they're like, "We don't really want to go all in." Okay, they're impressed by Jesus. They see Jesus healing people. They see Jesus performing signs and wonders and miracles. Mark regularly presents the crowds as people who are like, "We want to see Jesus do some stuff, but we just don't really want to fully submit to Jesus' authority in our lives." Okay, and so according to Jesus, these parables that he teaches in, like, they're going to create some really clear, obvious distinctions and boundaries between like who's in, who's receptive, whose heart's being softened, and those who are not receptive, those whose hearts are being hardened towards the message, right? Which brings us back to the parable at hand, right? So Jesus, the first nine verses, he tells this parable, okay, about a sower who he goes out and he sows a bunch of seed. Right, verses 3 through 9 are the parable, and then in verses 14 through 20, Jesus does something that he doesn't do very often. Right? And what I mean by that is he explains the parable. Right? More often than not, when you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when Jesus tells a parable, more often than not, he just like throws it out there and just lets it go. Right? There's no explanation. There's no invitation. There's no altar call. There's no like repeating the chorus of "just as I am" until somebody walks the aisle. Like, Jesus just throws it out there and he lets the weight of his words just kind of have their effect on the hearers. Okay, but here in this parable, he actually does something different. He explains what's going on, right? He explains the parable. And so what you have is a sower scattering seed, okay, which represents one who is sharing or proclaiming God's word. And when I say God's word, what does that mean? Well, let's look, what does Jesus say so far up as we've gone through the book of Mark? Now, I would remind you of Jesus' first message way back in chapter 1, verse 14. It says, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." All right, so Jesus' message, this word from God that he's bringing is, hey, the kingdom of God is here. Right, Jesus is saying, I am here. I am initiating this new kingdom that's breaking into the world. He's saying you need to repent and believe this. And so this message that's being scattered, right, seed, is this message of the kingdom of God, right? The gospel of God is what Jesus calls it, okay? And it's scattered, according to the parable, it's scattered widely and indiscriminately across four different types of soil, okay? And each one of those soils is meant to represent really the condition of the human heart and the receptivity, is that the word, receptivity? That That felt like a really fancy word. I shocked myself with that one. That the soils are meant to kind of give us an idea of how receptive our hearts are to this message. Okay, so let's pick it up in verse 14 as Jesus begins to explain what this parable means. Right, verse 14, he says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." So let's call this first soil the hard soil or the hard heart. Right, he says in the parable, it's so hard, the ground is so hard, it's so firm, it's been so like pressed down that the seed cannot even penetrate it. Right, the sower throws out the seed, but it just bounces off. Like it never takes root because the ground is so hard. Okay, and because it's so hard, he talks about a bird, but he kind of equates the bird to being like Satan, right? It swoops in, takes the seed so that it never even has a chance, like it never even has a chance to take root. And I think what you have here is a picture of the heart that is so resolved to just do what it wants to do, right? To pursue what it wants to pursue without giving a second thought, without giving like just no regard to God, to his authority, and to submission to his word. Okay, that's the kind of hard soil we're talking about here. If you were here a few weeks ago when we talked about the unforgivable sin, kind of the same thing. It's being so hardened that you're just saying like, I'm not interested and I don't care that I'm not interested. Right? That's the hardened soil. Right? And here's the thing with hard soil. If this kind of soil is going to ever be able to receive the seed and actually bear fruit, it first has to be broken up. Okay, if you've been here any amount of time, you know that I despise landscaping, but we've had to do some here recently because my kids have worn this spot like in our yard where they play basketball. Like there's just no grass there anymore, and it's right in the front yard, so it looks really terrible. And so Kelly, cultivated the ground so that we could put some grass seed down because it was so hard, like the seed would have never done anything. And so, we cultivated the ground, throw out the grass seed and put the straw on it. I don't know if it's going to bear any, I don't know if it's going to grow or not. I hope it does. But the point is, before that, like that ground was so hardened, before it will ever bear any fruit, it first had to be broken. And the thing about a hard heart, which is kind of scary, honestly, but the thing about a hard heart is that sometimes the Lord has to break. I mean, when you cultivate ground, it's you literally turn it upside down. And does the Lord not sometimes have to turn our lives upside down before we will begin to listen to him? Right? I mean, he does. Right? Sometimes the Lord has to break us down in order to make us sensitive to what he is saying through his word by his spirit. Like sometimes it just takes suffering and pain to break hardened hearts. And as C.S. Lewis once said, it's God gets a lot of mileage in our pain. I think his exact quote was, "God shouts to us in our pain." Right? We don't always hear God when things are going well, when everything's kind of falling into place, but you let one cancer diagnosis, you let one, just like last week, man, we sat here talking about losing Chris unexpectedly, you let one thing happen that you weren't prepared for, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Lord, you've got my attention. Okay, and sometimes the Lord allows those things, English is hard, sometimes the Lord allows those things to break our hearts so that we will begin to hear and receive the word that he's speaking to us. Okay, so that's the hard soil. But let's move on to the next one, verse 16. He goes on, he says, "And these are the ones sown on the rocky grounds, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. But then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So this is what I would just call shallow soil. Right? It's not that there's no soil. It's not that it's so hard that nothing can penetrate it. But it is so shallow that the seed can never really take root. There's just not enough there. Okay? And this could look a lot of different ways. I think one of the ways that I've seen it, or maybe just experienced it in some of the experiences, background circles I've been in, is just this sort of emotionally driven spirituality. Okay, now I want to be super clear. Your emotions are not bad. God gave you emotions. Okay, but like everything in life, it has its proper priority. So emotions are not bad. You just don't want to put them in the driver's seat. That's when things get dangerous. You don't want to be driven by your emotions. And I think where you see this play out sometimes in the church is when pastors or churches or conferences, student camp is one of the worst offenders of this. They kind of whip people into this emotional frenzy. Like get people just feeling a certain way. And then kind of press them in that moment like, okay, now that you're all worked up, let's get you to make a decision. All right, let's get you to commit to do something radical and crazy. And what I've seen and experienced, not every time, to be clear, not every time, but that decision made in a moment of just emotional, like, craziness is almost always a shallow, superficial one. Because here's what happens. Things go good for a while. Right, that's what the text says, right? You receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Things go good for a while, but eventually something happens. Right? Eventually, there's like something gets difficult. Something in your life doesn't work out the way you thought it would. You realize that actually living in obedience to Jesus is actually going to cost you something. Or maybe it's just you don't feel the same way that you felt when you made this very emotional decision, and so something must be wrong. And all of a sudden you abandon ship because it's not what you thought you were signing up for. Okay, it's shallow. And where there's sort of shallow, superficial, surface level soil, like there's just no room for roots. And where there is no roots, or there are no roots, there's no resilience. Right? When things get difficult, when things get hard, right? There's no perseverance, there's no endurance, there's just like, you know what? Not worth it. Okay, and I would just remind you that what Jesus actually said is, it's those who persevere, who endure to the end, that will be saved. Okay? It's a hard word because some of us know people, gosh, maybe some of us here in this room, who things were going really good for a while and then we just kind of walked away from it. And what Jesus says, his point here and what he teaches elsewhere, it's like, man, you want to know that faith is genuine. You want to know that faith is real. It's a faith that perseveres, that endures till the end, even when things get hard, even when it costs you something, right? Even when things are difficult and challenging, even when you don't feel like all the unicorns and rainbows and all the happy things, right? Jesus didn't talk about unicorns. That was me. I added that part in. Here's what James, right? James, the half-brother of Jesus. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, along the same lines, Peter writes this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's my point. It seems to me that the Lord will regularly allow trials, tests, difficulties, challenges, persecutions to really test the condition and the depth of the soil in your heart. Because it has a way of revealing what's actually there. Right? Is it real? Is it deep? Is there a rootedness? Or is it just kind of this surface level, superficial, I'm in it as long as things are going good? Okay? Let's keep moving. Verse 18. Jesus says, and there are other ones, the other seed, sown among thorns. And they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is what I would just call the distracted or the divided heart. Okay, and what I mean by that is if you notice in the illustration, the soil in which the seed is planted in is actually conducive to growth. Okay, so it's not that it's so hard that nothing can grow there. It's not that it's so shallow that nothing can grow there. The soil's conducive to growth. So the problem is not the quality of the soil, but the problem is that there's so many things that have been allowed to sort of take root and grow and flourish, and they've never been dealt with or they've never been pulled out, that when you put the good seed in, like, it can't actually grow. You got other things in the soil that are sucking up all the nutrients and just choking out the good seed. Okay, and there are as many applications for this as there are people in the room. Right, we could sit here all day and talk about what's in your soil that's growing, what's in your soil growing. But I just kind of want to throw a curveball, maybe give you one that may not even be on your radar because it doesn't sound negative. Right, but I think it's something that probably affects almost all of us in here in one way or another. Okay, and that's just busyness. Busyness. Right? Busyness has become somewhat of a it's almost like a status symbol in the world we live in. Like, hey, how are you? Oh man, I'm just so busy. Makes us feel important, right? Like, I matter, I'm so busy, people need me, I'm doing things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work hard, we shouldn't be busy, but the reality is I think one of the things that will choke out what the Lord wants to do in our hearts and in our lives that we don't always see and may not always be able to point out is just busyness. Just so much stuff. Because many of us, like, we know things that would choke out our ability to receive and the word and bear fruit, things like immorality or addictions or just like all kinds of unhealthy, immoral pursuits. Like, we know those things. Doesn't mean we've got them all figured out, but we kind of circle those things. Right? But what if some of the cares of the world that Jesus talks about here or some of the desires for other things, they're not honestly negative. It's just that there's so many things competing with one another. Right, so many things competing for our time and our attention and our effort and our energy and our priorities that they're actually spiritually debilitating. Right, it's like I'm reminded of the story Mary and Martha. If you're familiar with your Bible, you might remember the story of Mary and Martha. They're two sisters, and there's this scene in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus goes to their house, and Mary finds herself sitting at Jesus' feet, and it says that she is listening to him teach. She's listening to his words. But then her sister Martha is just frantically running about the house, right, trying to get everything ready, trying to get all the house in order. It says, at least in the English Standard Version that I preach from, it says that she was distracted with much serving. Now, here's the deal. Serving is a good thing. It's what Jesus said he came to do, right? I came not to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. Like, serving is a good thing, but for Martha, it had been misprioritized. What deserved priority was hearing the words of her Lord, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. But instead, she was distracted with a good thing. She was busy. You see, like, how dangerous just busyness can be? Right? And how much easier could the same sort of distraction be said for us when we live in this age of, like, unlimited distractions and packed schedules and, like, work is always trying to get our attention and the kids have always got this stuff going on. There's always this stuff I got to do at home, and we got computers in our pockets. We're never detached from anyone for any amount of time ever. We're just constantly distracted. And where you are constantly distracted, it will be very hard for you to hear and receive and respond in obedience to the Lord and His word. It just is. But then we got one more soil. Verse 20. Final soil. Jesus says, "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. What's interesting to me about the soils is Jesus has got these four soils sort of laid out here. Okay. And he explains the bad soils, and he explains what makes the bad soils bad soils. But then he gives us this good soil, and he never actually explains what's good about it. Right? He just says, and there's the good soil, the seeds planted in it, and it produces fruit. Right? Isn't that like, is anybody else mildly frustrated by that? Like, Jesus, just tell me what the good soil is, right? But I think one of the keys to sort of understanding this parable is all kind of bound up in the word here. Right? Notice as Jesus explains all four soils, it's all about how they hear the word, hear the word, hear the word. And in our English translations, which I'm assuming most of us have in the room, in our English translations, it's all the same word, hear. Okay? But in the original Greek language, there's actually a slight, subtle difference across these soils. Okay, hang with me here for a minute. I struggle with English language. I don't need to get too far into Greek, but I think this is, like, really important. So if you look at the first three soils, verses 15 through 19, the word here in the original Greek language is in the aorist tense, which you don't even know what that means other than the fact that it indicates a quick, sort of in the moment, just like simple, superficial act, like a one-time thing. And so when it comes to hearing, in the first three soils, right, the hard soil, the rocky soil, the crowded or the distracted soil, the word hear, the way that it's used, indicates this kind of like in one ear and out the other sort of hearing. The kind of hearing that you would do when you're on a flight and the flight attendant begins to go through the instructions before the plane takes off. You know what I'm talking about? Like you're listening, but you're like, I don't really care, right? Is that just me? Okay, great. But then in verse 20, the good soil, that verb here, again, in our English translations, it's the same word. It looks exactly the same. But in the original Greek language, it's a different tense. Same word with a different tense, and it's in the present tense, which in the Greek language is this idea of it's ongoing, it's continual. It's not a one-time, in one ear, out the other thing. It's active, right? It's kind of hearing and listening that's like leaning in, like I want to know more, I want to hear more, I want to make sure I understand what's being said here. Right? So it would seem that what makes good soil good in the parable, what makes for a heart that is receptive to the gospel, what makes for a heart, the soil in our hearts that eventually will produce a harvest, is it's just that we keep on hearing. We keep on listening. Right? We keep on coming back and say, I'm here for more. Help me understand. Much like the disciples did with this parable. Right? Because if you go back to verse 10, Jesus he tells a parable. Then the disciples show up and they're like, hey, could you help us understand this a little bit? Right? So it's even they didn't fully understand the word at first, but there is a desire, like, hey, we want to know more. We want to understand what it is you're saying. Right? That's the kind of heart that bears fruit. Right? The heart that just keeps coming back to the Lord and keeps coming back to his word and keeps saying, like, I'm trying to understand this. I want to live in obedience to this. Help me to understand. Right? That's the kind of heart that produces the harvest, right? 60-fold or 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And so the question that you and I have to wrestle with this morning is, how are you hearing and responding to the word? How are you hearing and responding to the word? Because God's word will always do one of two things. Always. We will either hear God's word and we will be softened, receptive to it. Even if we don't fully grasp it, understand it, there will be some sort of desire in us to say, I want to know more about that. I want to lean in. Or our response will be to be hardened. To say, I don't care. I'm not interested. Right? Our response to God's word will always be one of those two things. Okay, so I would just ask, what kind of soil is present in your life? Is it one that's being softened, able to receive the seed of God's word, or is it one that's being hardened, sort of resolved, disinterested, don't care? Okay, and if we just work our way backwards through the soils, okay, maybe you're here. I just want to try to help you kind of maybe identify where are you on this sort of spectrum. Maybe you're the good soil, right? Maybe, now listen, I get it. You're not as healthy as you want to be. You're not as fruitful as you want to be. But you've received God's word, and by God's grace, there's evidence of fruit in your life. Again, I know it's never as much as we want there to be. Okay, part of spiritual maturity is actually, ironically, understanding how much more we have to mature and grow. So I get it. Nobody in here is like, I've arrived. But maybe you're in a place where you're like, man, I've received his word. I am receiving. I'm still listening. I'm still actively trying to walk in obedience to it. And I would just say, man, praise God for that. I hope that's true of most of you in the room. Okay? But maybe you're here and you're more like the distracted or the divided or the cluttered soil. Maybe there are other things that have just sort of taken root in your life, in your heart, things that would keep you from walking in gospel growth, obedience, bearing fruit. Okay, and it's easy to kind of sit here and assess where I am and say, yeah, that's probably where I am, but then actually not do anything about it. And so here's what I want to challenge you to this morning. If you would say, I think that might be me. I think I'm just cluttered, man. It's just so much. Would you just name it? Like, maybe you just take out a pen and write, like, what is it that's actually distracting you from hearing and receiving and responding in obedience to the Lord's word? Like, what is it that's keeping you from experience the kind of transformation that really can't happen in your life? It could be some sort of, like, indwelling sin. It could be, something just needs to be pulled up from the root. Okay, it could be just some things you need to say no to because they keep your attention and your time and your effort and energy focused elsewhere. Right? What is it that is keeping you from hearing, receiving, responding to, walking in obedience to God's word? And maybe you're here and you're like, I don't even know what it is, but there's something. Why not make that a matter of prayer? Say, Lord, reveal to me where I have allowed other things in the soil of my heart that are distracting me from walking in obedience to you. Okay? That's if you're the cluttered soil. But maybe you're here and you're like the rocky ground. Maybe there's a point in your time where you received the word, right? You received it with joy and you endured for a little while, but now you find yourself in this place. Maybe something happened. Maybe it's just over time there's been erosion that's occurred. And you're like, that's just not where I am anymore. I'm not actively living in obedience. I'm not even making an effort to hear the Lord's word. And like, I'm not even trying to listen. Okay, maybe that's you this morning, right? Just if you would be honest, you would say, my walk with the Lord or my understanding of his word is just superficial, surface level even. And then maybe you're here and you are the hard soil. Like when you hear God's word, like right now, in this moment, when you hear God's word, like, does it fall on a hard heart? Like, is there sort of a resolve in the deepest parts of your soul that says, yeah, I know what you're saying. I kind of hear what you're saying. But like, the safety instructions at the beginning of the flight, I don't really care what you're saying. I'm not particularly interested in what you're saying. Are you just determined to continue in disinterest towards the things of the Lord? And I would say, here's a good litmus test, right? I may step on some toes here. If you're already more concerned with where you're going to go for lunch than in assessing the condition of your heart, maybe that means it's some hard soil, right? It's a spiritually dangerous place to be, like hard soil. As I said earlier, like, don't be shocked if the Lord allows some things into your life to just flip your life upside down so that maybe you'll begin to listen. So you'll lean in and say, okay, you have my attention, Lord. But I would also say this, the good news of the gospel is that as long as you are still able to hear, even if it's temporarily, even if it's imperfectly, as long as you're still able to hear the word of the Lord, you can still receive it and respond to it. Okay, because the good news of the gospel is that there is no soil so hard that God cannot soften it. Right? There's no heart that's so hard that God cannot soften it. There's no soil that's so bad that it cannot one day bear fruit. Right? Will it happen overnight? No. It doesn't happen for any of us overnight. Right? But there's no one here. Right? There's no one here that's heart is too hard, that soil is too hard, that God cannot break through and cause the seed of his word to begin to take root and bear fruit. And so in the words of Jesus, I would just say, let him who has ears hear and receive and respond to his word this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, I come to you. Thank you for your word that challenges us. Lord, I pray specifically this morning just that you would use your word and your spirit to reveal to us the conditions of our own hearts. Father, would you reveal to us where maybe we've allowed our hearts to be sort of distracted or divided with a million things, where we've allowed other things to take root in our lives that are pulling our time and effort and energy and attention and focus and desires away from you. And then, Father, not only would you help us to see them, would you help us to have the courage to repent of those things, to turn from those things, and to turn our ear to you and to your word and to listen. And then, Father, would you, for those here who maybe just, they would say the condition of their hearts is more like the shallow soil. There's just not a lot there. Would you create a desire, Lord, that soil would be deepened? Lord, would you create desires in shallow hearts to know you more, to know you more deeply, more fully? And then, Father, maybe there's some here whose hearts are just hardened. Maybe showing up here every week is just part of a routine. but there's really no desire to hear or listen or respond or walk in obedience. Father, if that's the case this morning, I pray that you would begin to cultivate the hard soil of hard hearts. Lord, begin to break things apart so that they would be able to hear and receive your word and respond in obedience to it. Lord, would you show us where we need to repent? Would you show us where we need to trust you? Would you show us where we need to walk in greater obedience that you might bear more and more fruit for your glory, for our joy? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.